Okay, today we're going to do Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph of Maseches Chagiga, the last Amud of the first Parak of Maseches Chagiga. So we had mentioned in the Mishnah, Mikra Muat Valachas Merubas. We're holding all the way at the two dots, about 10 lines into the page. Mikra Muat Valachas Merubas, that there are certain things that are like the certain areas of Torah that have very few psukim, but a lot of halachas about them. So Tana Negayim Va'ahalos, when it comes to the laws of Tzara'as and the laws of Tuma in a room with a dead body, Oel Ameis, Mikra Muat Valachas Merubas. There are a few psukim about them, but lots and lots of halachas about them. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Negayim Mikra Muat? Negayim Mikra Merubahu? How could you say that Tzara'as has only a few psukim about them? There are tons of psukim about Tzara'as. The whole Parshas Tazria, the whole Parshas Mitzora, it's all about Tzara'as. So Amar Rav Papa Hachi Ka Amar. No, this is what we mean to say. Negayim Mikra Meruba Valachos Muatos. That Tzara'as has lots of psukim, not so many halachos. Ahalos, on the other hand, Mikra Muat Valachos Merubos, has very few psukim and a lot of halachos. Umaynaf Kamina, what difference does it make if there's a lot of psukim, not so many psukim? Well, imestapkalach milsa b'negayim, if you're not sure about something relating to Tzara'as, ayin b'krai, you should look in the psukim. Imestapkalach milsa ba'alos, if you're not sure about something relating to ahalos, to Tumas Ohel, ayin b'masnisin, you should look in the Mishnayis, because that's where you're going to find most of the information relating to ahalos. So main point number one, the nafkamina, in knowing whether something has a lot of psukim or a lot of mishnayos, is to know where to look in order to find information. So nafkamina, in knowing that negayim has a lot of psukim and ahalos has a lot of mishnayos, is to know where to look when you have a question about negayim and ahalos respectively. So again, it says in the Mishnah now, Dinin, we said that laws of monetary laws that are not explicit in the Torah, but they have what to rely on. There's some connection in the Torah. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Michtav Ksivan. Dine Mamanis, monetary laws are explicit in the Torah. Why do you say they're not explicit in the Torah? So the Gemara answers, yeah, most dinim are explicit in the Torah, but l'nitzrucha el'lechid Rebbe. We're talking about those dinim that Rebbe spoke about. Ditanya, the Brisa tells us, when it says in the Torah that if two men are fighting and they hit a pregnant woman and it causes her to miscarry and the woman stays alive, so you only have to pay the money of the value of the babies to the husband, to the woman's husband. So that pasuk is talking about a person who's trying to hit another guy and by accident hits a pregnant woman. So if the woman does not die, all she does is miscarry, so then he should pay to the woman's husband the value of the fetuses. But if that woman dies, then the pasuk says v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. So the Brisa comments about that. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, what does that mean v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh? Nefesh tachas nefesh mamon. It does not mean that you actually kill the guy. It just means that he pays the value of the woman who he had just killed. So the Gemara adds, Ata Omer Mamon, are you sure that it means that he only pays money? O eno ela nefesh mamish. Maybe it means that we actually kill him. So that's why we need to know. Rabbi tells us, Nemra Nesina Lamata, when it talks about killing the woman, it says that Vinasata nefesh tachas nefesh. It uses the lashon Nesina of giving a nefesh in place of another nefesh. V'nemra, and it says, Nisina lema'ala. When it talks about the case of the woman not dying and just the fetus is dying, it also says vinasan biflilim. So malahalan mamon, just like in the case where the fetuses die, it's obvious that all you're paying is money. Safkan mamon, so too in the case where the woman dies, all it is that you're paying money. So that's a din and dine mamonis. That's not explicit in the Torah. In the Torah, it sounds like you would kill the person, but but the halacha is that you don't kill the person. That it's that you only make him pay money. So main point number two, in the din of nefesh tachas nefesh, the din that nefesh tachas nefesh means money is not so explicit in the Torah. Good. Avodos. We also mentioned that the karbanos are not so explicit in the Torah, but there's some Torah connection. Ask the Gemara again. Michtav Ksivan. You know how many psukim there are in the Torah about karbanos? There are tons and tons and tons of psukim about karbanos. So the Gemara answers, most of the halachas of karbanos, you're right, are explicit in the Torah, but lo nitzrucha elo la halachas hadam. What this is referring to is the specific halacha of moving the blood after you shecht the animal from the place where you shechted the animal to the mizbeach, so you could sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. Titania, we learned in a brisa, v'ikrivu, when the pasuk says v'ikrivu zukabel sadam, that's a reference to catching the blood. Va'afka rachmana b'lashon halacha, the Torah says v'ikrivu, which makes it sound like you're moving it. T'chsiv v'ikriv hakohen es hakol v'iktir mizbecha. Va'amr mar, and we said halacha sevarim azu halacha sevarim lekevesh. That's a reference to moving the limbs of the animal to the ramp of the mizbech. So you see that halacha, that moving it, is not separated, is not excluded from the idea of catching the blood. Meaning, don't say that the halachas adam, that moving the blood, is not considered an avoda. It's also considered an avoda. It's also considered avoda sakarban. And it's that halacha, that moving the blood, that halacha sadam is navoda sakarban, that's the halacha that's not really written explicitly in the Torah, but that we're supposed to learn from the Torah. So main point number three, halacha, moving the blood from the place where the animal shechted to the mizbeach, is not explicitly in the Torah, but Kabbalah is said in a lashon of halacha, and halacha is in fact an avoda. We also learned in the Mishnah that Taharos, laws of Taharos of becoming Tahar, are not explicit in the Torah, but have some Torah connection. And again, the Gemara asks, Michtav Ksivan, there are plenty of Pesukim all about Taharos. The Gemara again explains, Lo Nitzrecha Ela L'Shir Mikvah. It's one specific din of Taharos that we're referring to, and that is the size of a mikvah. The Lo Ksivah doesn't say anywhere in the Torah how big a mikvah has to be. Titania Varachs Psar B'mayim, Price of Darshan's Pasuk. Pasuk says, you should wash your body in water, B'mei Mikvah, and that means in mikvah waters, es kol besaro, the word kol, when it says all of your body in the mikvah, all of your flesh, mayim shekol gufa ol ben, that teaches us how big a mikvah has to be. It has to be big enough that it could fit an entire average-sized human body at once. V'kamahein, how big is an average-sized human body? How big of a mikvah does a mikvah need to be for an average-sized human body to fit? Amma al amma barum shalosh amos, that it's one amma by one amma with a height of three amos. So the three dimensions are one amma wide, one amma long, and a height of three amos. V'shiru chacham me mikvar by himself. And the chacham figured out that the amount of water that could fit such a box is 40 sa'ah. So the main point number four, the shir of a mikvah is not explicit in the Torah, but we know that it's 40 sa'ah. Next, the Mishnah said that tumos are not mefurish in the Torah, but have some connection to the Torah. Again, the Gemara asks, Michtav Ksivan, what are you talking about? There's lots of laws of Tumah that are explicit in the Torah. So again, the Gemara says, no, we're talking about one specific halacha of Tumah. Lo nitzrecha l'chadashim min hasheretz, the law that a sheretz, that a rodent, a dead rodent, can make things tameh, even in just the size of a dead rodent, that's the size of an adasha, of a lentil, that's so tiny. The lo ksiva, it doesn't say in the Torah that such a tiny thing can make other things tameh. The tanya, we learned in the brisa, darshan's a pasuk. Pasuk uses the word bahem when it talks about tuma of a sheretz. So yachal bekulan, I might think that the din is only if you touch a sheretz when it's still whole that you become tameh, but if you touch a piece of a sheretz, you're not tameh. Tam lomar mehem. That's why it says mehem. That even from them, even if you touch a little piece of them, yachal b'mitzasan. So I might think you could become tameh even if you touch the tiniest piece of a sheretz. Tam lomar bahem. That's why it says no. You touch them, you have to touch an actual sheretz. Well, haketan, which is it? Are you tameh when you touch a piece of a sheretz or not? So achi yigia b'mitzaso shukakulo. You only become tameh if you touch a piece of a sheretz that's big enough to be a whole sheretz. And how big of a piece of a sheretz is big enough to be a whole sheretz? Shiru chachamim b'kadasha. The chachamim estimated that's the size of a lentil. Shekin chomet, because a certain type of sheretz, tchilaso b'kadasha, when it's first born, is the size of a lentil. So that's what we assume is the minimum size of a whole sheretz, and therefore when you touch a piece of a larger sheretz that's at least the size of an adasha, you become tameh. Rabbi Yosef Rabido Amar Kaznav Hatla'a, that would be the size of a lizard's tail, is the minimum size of a piece of a sheretz that would make a person tameh. So main point number five, the fact that you become tameh when you touch a lentil-sized piece of a sheretz is not explicit in the Torah, but is derived from the Torah telling us that you become tamei when you touch a piece of a sheretz that's big enough to have been a whole sheretz. Then we also said in the Mishnah, arayos are not explicit in the Torah. So ask the Gemara again, michtav ksiva, and there are plenty of psukim about arayos in the Torah. What's this referring to? So lo nitzrucha ela me libito me anusaso. This is referring to not all arayos. Most of the arayos are explicit in the Torah. It's talking about a guy sleeping with his own daughter from his rape victim. The lo ksiva doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah explicitly. Dama Rava, Amarli Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Asya Heina Heina, Asya Zima Zima. That we learn this from a series of Gzeirah Shavas, where the word Heina is used in the pasuk that talks about his wife's son's daughter or his wife's daughter's daughter. So it says Heina, Sheira Heina Zimahi, and the pasuk that talks about his own granddaughter from his rape victim, it also uses Heina, Kirveska Heina. So we learn that just like by his real wife, we treat the daughter the same as the granddaughter. We treat her daughter the same as her granddaughter, and her granddaughter the same as her daughter, as far as his iser to sleep with her. So too, when it comes to his anusa, his daughter from his rape victim, his granddaughter from his rape victim is the same. And Asya Zima Zima, we connect to psukim that talk about Zima as well, to teach us that someone who sleeps with his daughter or his granddaughter from his rape victim is chayiv sreifa. So last main point on Amud Aleph, I guess we'll make it, is that the law that his daughter from his rape victim that is considered arayos is not explicit in the Torah and is derived from Gzeirah Shava. And then the Mishnah had said, just to conclude the parak, Hein, hein, gufei Torah. From the fact that it says hein, hein, it sounds like we're trying to emphasize that these things that are written in the end of the Mishnah, the things about Dine Mamanis and the Avoda and Taharos and Tumos, Arayos, all these things we just discussed, those are gufei Torah. Those are the essence of Torah. So the Gemara says, what? Hani in, hanachlo. The other things in the Mishnah aren't so important. They're not considered gufei Torah. What do you mean? They're also derived from the regular methodologies of learning Torah. Ele'ema, hein vehein gufei Torah. What it really means to say is all of the things we just mentioned in the Mishnah are all gufei Torah, not just the last part of the Mishnah. Everything in the Mishnah is gufei Torah because it's all derived from the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatar and Jashban. Hadron Allah, Hakol Chayavim, Bez Hashem. Next time, we will begin the second parak of Maseches Chagiga.